You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. It's Friday, and this week, commentator Gary Borders returns to a sacred shrine, Boston's Fenway Park.
It's late August, and the Boston Red Sox are leading the American League Eastern Division. My hopes are rising. I can't help it. It's in my DNA. 3 weeks ago, we sat five rows behind home plate at the Shrine, Boston's Fenway Park, thanks to my generous wife, who bought us premium seats as an early birthday present. If we're going to Fenway, we might as well sit close, she said. I like the way she thinks. We were close enough to see the sweat on the home plate umpire's brow when he removed his mask. He was a large man loaded down with protective gear. The weather was actually perfect. 70 degrees, low humidity, a bit of a breeze. The first three rows are reserved for high-dollar season ticket holders. A young woman with the menu kept coming by and taking drink and food orders from folks seated in those rows. I had to get our own beers and hot dogs, but this was not an undue burden. We were in Fenway, after all, with stellar seats, the best I've had in 50 years of attending games here. Sitting in this park, looking at the Green Monster, the lighted John Hancock sign over center field, listening to the familiar chant of "Let's go Red Sox," it always feels as if I have come home. 50 years ago, I sat in the bleachers as a 12-year-old. We had tickets for the 1967 season's next-to-last game, thanks to my dad's foresight. He bought them at the beginning of the year, never imagining the Sox would be in a pennant race. It was the season of what became known as the Impossible Dream. The Sox were battling the Minnesota Twins, who came to town for the season-ending series. The Sox had to sweep the Twins to win the pennant, and they did, led by Carl Yastrzemski's torrid batting. Alas, they lost the World Series to the Cardinals in 7 games. It would be another 37 years before the Red Sox were World Series champs, with 2 more unsuccessful attempts before the 2004 championship that finally ended the curse of Babe Ruth. They won again in 2007. I was in Fenway for the first game, and they won for a third time in 2013. All those memories, a half century's worth of rooting for this team and looking forward to being inside the stadium, swept through me as we settled down to watch the game against the Kansas City Royals. In the front row, an elderly woman wore an elaborate Carmen Miranda-style hat, festooned with miniature batting helmets, and topped with a replica of Fenway's field and several Red Sox players. She cheerfully posed with folks for selfies. Right behind us, a quartet of friends from Rhode Island kept up a constant stream of banter, heckling the opposing team's players. One Royals batter with a bleached Bond man bun was nicknamed Milli Vanilli. The guys insulted each other regularly as well. They began calling us Texas when they found out where we lived, though I was quick to claim my New Hampshire origins. After the game, I joined our new friends for a group photo. As daughter Abby said, it was like sitting in front of Tom and Ray from NPR's Car Talk. Alas, the Sox lost 4-2, but that hardly put a damper on the grand time we had in Fenway. The team fell out of first place to the hated Yankees that night, but since then they have been on a torrid streak and are solidly in first place. But there are 33 games remaining in the next 6 weeks. Anything can happen, as Red Sox fans have long known. As my 83-year-old Aunt Irene wrote recently on Facebook, "Let's go Red Sox! It's in our DNA."
Commentator Gary Borders is a longtime writer and photographer in East Texas. You can reach him at garyborders.com.